The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 462. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Be all lies, Nobel Prize, when a leader speaks, that reflection lies.
Adam Vail.
Never make eye contact while eating a banana.
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brett Murdoch.
What up, people?
And Brian Manjoma.
What up, what up?
By the way, do you guys ever see that video of how to properly eat a banana so you don't look gay? It's fucking hilarious.
Oh, no.
Have you ever seen the video on how to properly open a banana?
No, I haven't seen that.
you're supposed to peel it from the back end, not the long stem end.
Okay, I've seen
people just break it in half.
You either break it in half. I mean,
so the way to properly eat a banana. Let me pull the mic back. So basically, go like this, right? You break off a piece, look around, make sure no one's looking, and then you just throw it in your mouth and just repeat that until it's over. You don't want to put the whole thing in there. It's fucking insane, man.
No, yo,
I know some weird guys like that. It's like, dude, some of these acts are not gay. You know, like it's fine. Eating a sausage doesn't make you gay. Okay. I've even known there's some guys
that off serving ice creams.
Yeah. There's some guys
from ice cream column. They won't do that either.
Oh, with ice cream. there's a certain individual that was on a former, Torrens podcast. I'll say that he says if you wipe more than twice, you're doing it for pleasure and you got to be careful. It's like, okay, bro.
Well, Family Guy.
That person was very, sensitive when it came to.
He also didn't believe in eating bananas or anything phallic.
I remember in Family Guy, there was something like that. The guy went to the bathroom and he was taking too long. He's like, hey, if you shake it two times, you're playing with it. Get out. Keep going. Play
with it. But yeah, if you want to look gay, you're eating a banana, just break off pieces. Make sure no one's looking. Then you throw the piece in your mouth. It's fucking insane. Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Kid Shaq, what's going on, brother? He goes, sounds like people have fragile egos or they're just ignorant.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fucking hilarious to me, man. Anyway. Questions tonight, man. Let's get to it. Kishak, you're up first, sir. We're answering your questions first, man, because your questions are relevant to what happened over the weekend, man. Obviously, Black Friday, right, was going on. We got a question about that later on. And everybody's looking for this motherfucking place in Portal. Couldn't find it. It was the PS5 all over again, you know? So let's get to the first question here. With how well the PS Portal is doing so far, it fascinates me how particularly angry some are getting over people enjoying the product and that it's selling well. Is it weird / funny how worked up people are getting at the success of the Portal?
I think it's more of on how limited the Portal is. That's what's baffling. We see all these devices, all the handhelds and stuff that have all this functionality. Hell, they said it's like the best experience. We saw what Digital Foundry said. It's with an iPad. You get the better experience and you can connect your controller and whole thing. It looks better, runs better, bigger screen. But yet people are flocking to this device that can't do anything besides project the image from the game within the home. Why are they going crazy?
Let's talk about that. Kishak will address your question shortly, but we got to give some context here, right? Or mainly going, what the fuck is this thing, right? Why can't you find it? I've heard many theories. And I'm going to
artificial go with scarcity.
So I'm going to combine them because I think Manny and I were discussing this beforehand, and this is what I think is going on is both of them. Yeah, artificial scarcity. Let's just be honest, artificial scarcity, right? Because Sony probably didn't have a lot of faith in this thing, and then two, like what happened with the PS5, these motherfucking scalpers are getting in there, and that's not a theory; it's a fact. Like you go to eBay, these guys are selling marked up, and then obviously you know what happens. People are like, oh shit. Now I want that, because it's hard to find, mm-hmm. Because my personal opinion is that Sony toe dip didn't have a lot of faith in this thing. So they're like, all right, just put out a limited amount, whatever, As a matter of fact, to make it, he just says right here, there's no portal in New Zealand until February. So they definitely limited production. I think that's part of it. But obviously limiting production could also be done intentionally, like, oh, we could drum up more success. So when we actually have more of these to manufacture, people just like rush to it. Because like you said, Adam, at the end of the day, what is this thing? It's just a streaming thing. It's not different.
Yeah.
You could get a fucking backbone, for your phone, for less than this shit. Granted, yes, I understand the arguments. No, you're not going to be getting phone notifications or phone calls on your PlayStation Portal. I get that. But still, this is not that you can't play. I still believe I said this before, right? To my team at Tom's Guide, I half joked, half seriously said I should write a PSA article because I think half the people buying this shit think it's a fucking PS a Vita too. I don't think they know that this is just a streaming thing, that you need a PS5, that you need to play it in your home. Like, I don't think people understand that.
Yeah, you go on Reddit and I've seen comments, whether they were trolling the group or not. They're like, no, you can load your own PS5. If you own it, you can load it on there. It's like, no, there is no loading on there.
Yeah, what the fuck are they talking about?
Because they were like, I signed in with my profile. Yeah, you signed in with your profile and that way you can see your device, your PlayStation, your house, but it's not installing anything. There is no storage space for that.
Doesn't it lack basic Bluetooth features? Like, it's something missing. It's like, what the fuck? And then you can't just connect any old headphones to it. You got to connect these Sony headphones, the new ones that just came out.
You get the special ones.
But at the same time, I have seen what Kishak's talking about, where people who bought it like it, some people who genuinely like it, because think about it like this, right? If you're at home and your kid you're watching TV and your fucking kid wants to play PlayStation, like, here, play on this. I'm watching my fucking TV or whatever. I get that. Some people are enjoying it, but then those people are getting dunked on by other people saying, what the fuck is wrong with you? You just wasted your money.
You know what? I don't buy that. I don't buy that because that didn't work for Nintendo with the Wii U, because they were selling that same idea right there. Yeah, just play this in your hand while somebody else is playing on the TV. And it didn't work. I think what it is these people...
For mass spread, it doesn't. But I'm saying there are some people that does work for them,
Well, the Wii U is a standalone console. This is an accessory to a mega-popular platform.
Regardless, people are,
but you know, you still needed the console connected. Remember that the controller, in order to play that, you still needed the console. You couldn't take that controller with the screen outside. It was still in the house. It's a second screen experience type of thing. Like, oh, someone's using the TV, let them use the TV. You could still play your Wii U sitting next to them. That's what I'm getting at. And nobody cared. They were like, that's dumb. Why would I want to do that? And I was like, well, look, now with the portals, that's exactly what they're offering. And people are all hyped on it. So the idea was, one, they're already fans of the product or the company or whatever. And they're like, hey, I'm all in it. Two, you already bought it. You paid $300. You don't feel it hurt your wallet. And it's like, I might use it once in a while, but whatever. I'm not going to knock it.
Honestly, I don't know why there's so much hoopla over this device. It's a niche device. Yeah. I don't know why. It's taking, I guess, because there's nothing to talk about at the moment. But there's really nothing more to say. It's like it's a streaming device for a console, and that's it. That's all it serves. That's the whole purpose. And some people are gonna buy it because they actually, like Tony mentioned, there's people who have kids and stuff, and they take their TVs and stuff. And there's PS fanboys will buy anything that Sony releases. But other than that, I don't know. There really shouldn't be that much talk about something so insignificant.
I find it interesting how the PlayStation Go failed, right? Because you couldn't use your UMDs. Now this shit, this is a fucking streaming device. It's selling.
It's a different time.
You know, very interesting. Very interesting how that works.
I remember people goofing on me when I had a QWERTY keyboard on my phone. And they're like, why do you have that? I was like, well, I can text people. Why would you do that, asshole? You can call them. You know, like they didn't understand it. And now look, everybody texts. Things have changed.
Some people prefer to text, you know, or talk. Blitz says, if it wasn't such a, quote, dumb device and actually had some kind of additional hardware or features, then I'd probably consider it. But given it's literally a DualSense with a screen, it's a huge fuck off for me. Yeah, I agree with that, you know. So I really think that a lot. Listen, I understand that some people genuinely like it. I'm not going to be like those haters who are dunking on them. But at the same time, I think some of these people are getting hoodwinked, man. I don't think they know what this thing is.
You know? If anything, if we want to look on the upside, if this does sell well, maybe this will encourage PlayStation for the second iteration to actually have some other features. Maybe throw in an SSD and let you install the games and play it on the go if you own them. It won't really do a lot of other things. Maybe they toe dip like they usually do. It does a little bit more than what this one does. Who knows? Maybe that'll open the door, because if it does sell well, they're like, oh, look, we can make some money. And or maybe they won't do shit and they just keep producing this. I don't know, but it could be. It's only good for Sony, right?
Yeah,
either way. Yeah. People buying it.
Any other thoughts on the PlayStation Portal? We do have another question related to it, though.
Yo, man, something tangentially related. I took my, like you guys know, I took my iPad to New York, played Spider-Man, took a DualSense and got a platinum on it.
Yay.
Played really good.
Played Spider-Man in New York. Super meta.
Yo, man, that's the most meta you can get, man. And it's a great experience. So you don't even need a port. If you already have an iPad, and my iPad's not that new, it's, you know, 2019, 2020. And you can play a remote play pretty good on that. So you already have an iPad. I don't see that much of a need of.
I did that with my Vita playing The Division while I was in New York in 2018 to my PS4, and it worked. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. The technology's been there and proven to work. Why do we need this proprietary screen with attached controls? It's dumb. You can already do it with other devices.
Yeah. Again, Razer backbone, you know. Not the Razer backbone. Razer Kishi, that's another one. Go ahead.
To be fair, I actually think that Sony did a really smart move with this. I mean, if you actually look at it, Sony released a handheld device that will succeed without them having to even support it this time.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's the toe dip of
all. I can't fail because unless your PS5 fails. The toe
dip. All right. You know what? That's actually a great segue to the next question, because, again, it's related. Given the widespread sellout of the PS Portal, there's a prevalent belief that PlayStation enthusiasts are expressing a demand for a dedicated handheld console. However, the challenge lies in the finite number of studios Sony possesses to create exclusive software. Introducing another device would necessitate the development of exclusive games for the PS5, PSVR2, and a handheld, stretching resources thin. Criticisms has already arisen this year regarding the lack of a clear roadmap for PlayStation's future beyond 2023, coupled with the recent departure from cross-gen support. Do you think adding another device into the mix raises concerns about the potential negative impact on the success of a dedicated handheld and the potential hindrance it could pose to PS5 throughout its generational lifespan? Again, this is why I think this is just a streaming device. They're testing the waters. You know, they don't want to dedicate,
This is a great question, because I think the era of dedicated handheld systems is over, unless it's a mobile device. Yeah. You know, the Switch being ahead of the curve, they did a device that's not just portable, not just in the home. It's a hybrid, and you know, after that we have all of these Steam Decks, these. Everything that Tony's been reviewing, all these different devices that essentially is just console games or new games that come out on a mobile device. And I don't think Sony's track record is not good, you know, especially with the Vita supporting dedicated software for the mobile platforms or for their handheld platforms. So I think what's supposed to go next is, you know, same games that are on the console are going to have to be in the mobile. Microsoft is going to do it. They're going to do it via streaming, probably.
That's been the holy grail for like 20 years. Like, because the problem's always been, you know, they want to put a good experience on both of them, but like, how do you do that without downgrading your mobile version? It's not until streaming has actually come into actual feasibility that it's starting to become an option. So as much as I want to poo-poo Sony's chance to throw out a Vita, because like I don't know if I dare to wish for that again. I don't think I do. At this point, I've had my Steam Deck. I don't think it can compete, but like, it's becoming a possibility. I just wanted to throw that it's just kind of now becoming possible.
Well, here's a question for the panel. It's like, does anyone believe that Sony will ever make a dedicated handheld device?
I don't think so.
Software.
They don't need to. If these are selling like hotcakes, it looks like, then this is it. They don't need to. And how much did this actually cost? What you see is what you get. It's a screen with damn controls on it. That's it. And that's enough. The software on it is the same software that you get from the main remote app.
So Adam, it would be smart, Adam. Like, you have to admit, like, creating, like, this, that would be their opportunity to create an ecosystem that reaches outside of just their core console experience.
It would cost them money, and they don't want to do that.
I don't think that they can do it. I'll be honest. Like, I don't think they can do it competently, and I don't think that they have any interest in doing it. That being said, I think it would be a fantastic idea. It would allow them to kind of reach out of their own little arena and kind of future-proof them, because that's what everybody's kind of doing. If you're kind of dealing with Steam and what Microsoft is doing, then kind of creating an ecosystem / service for yourself wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing, but they are really just chaining themselves to just that console experience. And I don't know, like, if you would have asked me 10 years ago, I would have been like, fuck yeah, that's how I want it. I want that pure shit. Do not fuck around with any of that stuff. But like, now, I don't know. I kind of feel like that may be limiting them in the future. You know what I mean?
I think they're taking that other approach, what we see with their launcher that they plan on releasing for the PC. And they got all their games coming to PC, older titles, but they're still pushing it. Because then it goes on all those other devices. They don't have to create a device. They're like, hey, you could play all these games. We'll get the money from them, and we don't have to do any of the work. We just have to make sure it works on the PC. Let you guys deal with all the other issues. So there you go. I think they're just going to do that. They're just going to keep pushing their games on PC to make the extra money.
See, that's such a weird take for Sony, though, because generally Sony is, they want to keep everything kind of under lock and keep it. So it to me, it seems weird that in this space they wouldn't want their own dedicated hardware that they could lock their software onto, and instead they're just like, well, they're going to open the floodgate to the third party here. Like, that's kind of, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying it's weird because that's the complete opposite of their normal MO.
But that's what they've been doing for years now. With God of War and all these, Last of Us, they've been putting it on PC. They're putting it on Epic and Steam. They're like, here, there's other platforms. Go ahead, play it.
Am I leaving, Nick?
Yeah, they don't care.
Yeah, but like, yeah, like, significantly afterwards, like, I can also see them being like, look, here's a Vita, you know, Nova or some other random fucking name.
But they,
it comes out with games that you could stream day and date if you already own them on the PlayStation console. Later on, we'll do the whole PC thing, and you can just do whatever the fuck you want there. But
whatever they come up with has to be able to play these games, these PS5-type games. And that's what people are going to want. If they're going to buy something else besides this $300 remote device, they're going to be like, oh, you got a PlayStation handheld? Don't half-ass it like the PSP and the Vita and get like downgraded versions. We want one-for-one comparison. I want that if I buy my PS5 game, I also get that same game to work on this new handheld. That's a big ask.
Here's the thing. It's all how you frame it. If you say, hey, here is a game, like, let's call this the Uber Vita, right? Like, here's an Uber Vita. Uber Vita plays its own Uber Vita games, plus it does the streaming that this other thing does. So not only can you play Uber Vita games, you can take your PlayStation 5 games with you anywhere asterisk.
No, that's a Vita now. Because my Vita now could do all that. You could still stream. And no, it's not going to work. People don't want another SKU. They just want to have one to play on all the devices. No one wants to double dip. It's like, think about it. Let's say if you get, I don't know, they make another God of War. And it's like, oh, that's great. And then it's like, oh, am I getting it for my new Vita thingy? Yeah. Well, you're getting something like that. What do you mean something like that? It's going to be, we took some of the
No, it's not that. Like, they don't even sell a God of War for Uber Vita. They just sell the God of War for PlayStation 5 and let you stream it through the Uber Vita. They never make that any of those promises, so they can't break any of those promises. Now, what they may give you is a side Atreus God of War game exclusive to the Uber Vita for the first year until it comes out on PC. That would be kind of their MO.
But then they get smacked in the face a year later when that version comes to PC and works on Steam Deck and then, you know, the Legion Go and all the other ones. And I'm like, shit, I can't do that online.
What's happening now, though? That's the
They're already on it, though. They're all on there. So you could play them. It's just you're not paying for another weird version of the game. You're getting the official version. You're not getting the ones on PC is not a downgraded version. You're getting Miles Morales.
Adam, I think you're missing. I never at once in this point said like they're selling you a downgraded version, right?
No,
like,
you said that the other version of Vita would have a different type of God of War game.
You could get a different one. But they're not selling you a downgraded regular God of War because they're not trying to sell you a specific God of War for the most part. They're trying to sell you on the fact that you can stream this God of War, plus it has its own games.
Yeah, that's the Vita. The Vita did that with its own version of Uncharted that didn't come for the other one, and still people didn't buy it.
Yeah, but you couldn't.
You could stream your PS4 at the time. Yeah, you could stream it.
It didn't work for shit.
I just told you I did for The Division, playing in New York. I still did it. I streamed it. It worked. It did work. And Manny was always doing the streaming, the remote play on his
Vita. That is true.
Yeah. I was doing it. Yeah, I was doing it a lot with the like playing like Bloodborne and stuff like that. The only thing is the remote play in general is really dependent on how good your connection is. And this is anybody running it. Like right now I have my PlayStation 4 is able to run my PlayStation 5, and I tested it out. Now, my PlayStation 5 is currently, you know, wired, and then my PlayStation 4, being that it's in my room.
Hold on, Manny, you just fucked me up. You just said my PS5. It's got to absorb that. I never thought I'd hear that.
So my PS5 is connected to the wire, and then the 4... the 4 is connected in the room and it's using wireless. Now the wire like ran remote play with Spider-Man and there's a whole bunch of lag. Video got all messy. It just had a lot of issues. So, you know, again, it just depends on your connection.
Well, that'll apply even for this new portal thing. It's all about, you know, if you have you're playing in a basement or something. Yeah. From the router.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, to answer your question, I don't think so. I think this is it. They're just doing the toe dips. I don't think they're going to do a dedicated handheld.
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't think they're going to invest in it. I mean, either of them, like they already I feel like the replacement of that additional device is a VR.
And so even the VR that isn't doing that well either. You know,
not doing that well.
Either. Oh, that did come out. Right?
Question.
Yeah. What's up?
Also sold out, by the way, as well. By the way, when it
initially, yeah.
Yeah, initially sold out. So I feel like those numbers that we're talking, you know, like a lot of people like, oh my God, it's sold. Don't worry about those.
Yeah, Brett, what's up?
They just, yeah.
I also want to ask not just will they, but should they? Because we all know that they'll, you know, what they do and what they should do, often different things. It's frustratingly so with Sony sometimes. So like, yeah, I want to know, like, I know what they're probably not going to, but I'm curious as to whether you guys think they should. At this point,
I wouldn't want another proprietary device.
I don't think they need to.
No. Just play nights with the other ones. That's all.
Their games are already on the Steam Deck, so you know they're good on that end. So no, they don't need to.
Yeah, they don't need
to. So what was the point of this end then?
A toe dip. I don't fucking know. This thing makes no sense to me. You know,
I really think somebody said it. What happened,
Adam?
Remember, we talked about when it was first announced. We're like, who is this for?
Yeah.
What? Who wants this?
I think some Sony executive just said, hey, that Steam Deck's doing well. Can we do something like it to try to see? Like, but again, I don't know. It's like Adam said, who is this ultimately for? Really? Like, I don't
know. Sold out? So it's for the people that are buying it till it's out of stock?
For ponies, yeah, I guess, you know? Again, we'll see when when restocks come in and if it sells out again, you know.
Also, ultimately, right? Sort of touched on this before. If they decide to discontinue this thing, no harm, no foul.
No one cares. Doesn't matter. Yeah.
There's no games that are getting lost. There's no software that's being made.
It's not a big financial loss, I'm sure.
Not a big financial loss, which. Mm-hmm. So toe dip, if the in any sense of the word, yeah.
Yeah. All right, man, let's move on. Good questions. Who is this guy? Eurocar 9? Who is this? And I think he may have... And I think this guy has insider information here. Uh-oh.
I think so.
Wait a minute. If this is Eurocar 9, that means there's another 8 of them.
Well, of course. There were. That's what we've brought up,
At the very least, man caught up with them.
Oh boy! Yeah,
no, well, he tried to get 1, 2, and 3, and it kept saying that
the first successful prototype. There were 8 of them before, you know.
Oh,
yeah. But this question right here, I think this guy has some insider information. I don't know who this guy is. You know,
that's why I'm saying I think the first 8 of them got silenced for leaking information.
Yeah. So the question is, can we have updated thoughts on Adam's experience with the new Steam Deck? A.K.A. Enzo. I don't know how this motherfucker knew that, man.
He knew that because we were doing we did I Am Negan for the Fear of the Walking Dead today. We covered the last two episodes.
Shit with Carlos, man. Not with Eurocar 9.
Yo, man, what's
that? He's another guy that joins the chat. We have people that join the chat constantly.
Batman and Bruce Wayne are friends?
Yes.
Yep. Batman and Bruce Wayne, they both work at the same company, that type of deal.
Yes, it's like, you know, Peter Parker's always taking pictures of Spider-Man, you know? They know each other.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a healthy relationship.
No, it isn't. But yeah, Adam, Steam Deck OLED, man, you finally got that shit working. What do you think about it now?
The limited edition, which turns out we found out what limited means. It's timed. It's not limited in quantity. That's why it's still available.
I thought it was just limited in Wi-Fi.
That's what I thought.
But then that's the thing. So you can check it out over in Coalition. I have the video of all the stuff that I put on there because it has its own limited edition startup screen that comes with it. It's just called OLED, which is weird, and its own keyboard. It looks like an orange RGB type of background keyboard. Really cool, right? And that's one of the things you get once you turn it on. You log in, and it's like, hey, we detect what your device is on. You want to redeem this stuff. So really cool. But that Wi-Fi issue... It's more of a router thing because it's a 160 hertz. So if anyone's listening that's having issues or heard about it, if you have a Wi-Fi 6 or 6E router, if you're having issues connecting, and it's random across the board, because some people on Reddit were like, I have a Wi-Fi 6, it works fine. Others, like myself, it was not. And this one dude just went and turned on and off almost every feature that's by default on the router. He had an Asus Wi-Fi 6 gaming router, the same exact one I had. And he said, hey, I unchecked. It just says enable 160 hertz. It was already checked. He unchecked it, just like everything else, saved, tried to connect. This time it just worked and stayed on, no issues. Problem is, and that's why I didn't even put it in my reviews, because I don't know how that impacts your home network, what you use that's 160 hertz. I don't want to recommend, go ahead, turn this off, and then you're like, my wife says her computer doesn't work or some shit. You know, I don't know what it is. I haven't noticed any difference in my home with the Wi-Fi and devices, so I'm not understanding what it is. I'm looking up. It's something that some routers have it on by default. I've never turned this option on. If you want to see if you have it, log into your router, go to your 5G Wi-Fi connection section, and you should see an option. Just says enabled. It already comes checked. It says 160 hertz. Uncheck it. And that's it. So it's not so much that it's a Steam Deck. If it was a Steam Deck, then yes, there's a problem because then it's failing and it's giving error message connecting. It didn't seem that. It looks like it's just it doesn't have, I guess, the compatibility for that, but then not every router has that feature. So maybe it's more of Valve understanding and loading configs to support whatever this 160 mesh is that's causing issues for some. I don't know. It's weird. It's very weird. But once I did on the router, I didn't do anything on the deck. I didn't have to go through any configuration special settings. I just unchecked that enabled on the router, restart my router. And then the username and password, which I always know, and I put in the deck, automatically picked up. It just went on the Wi-Fi like nothing happened. So very weird, but it's fast, you know, going on 6. So it noticed instantly, like I was loading Diablo, which is was an 88 gig file or something like that. Pretty big. And that was flying down. I should have took screenshots of that one, too.
How does it run PlayStation?
Right. Which PlayStation? Doing
doesn't
the remote?
Doesn't it run Remote Play as well?
Yeah, no, I haven't loaded the Remote Play. You know what? That's a good idea. I'll make a video on that. I'll do the Remote Play. I'll do a Remote Play on that. I did it on my old one. I had that set up, but I haven't set up on this one. This one, I recently just got this Switch, you know, emulator, Yuzu. I got that. I put some games on there that I usually play, Mario Kart and stuff. And yeah, it's great. It's a screen, but then it's an OLED screen. Like, that's the thing. Like, people are like, oh, it's just amazing. It's really amazing. I mean, there's some changes. We talked about it with the fan and the memory a little faster and all that stuff and the battery. But visually, it's what you see that usually wows people. Just like when you go to buy a new TV, it's what you see. The content could be garbage, but if the screen is amazing, it makes it look better. It pops, and that's what's happening here.
It kind of like that you know, the was it that crazy like UHD stuff that they got going, where you know you have to. It has to do with like a color profile.
Oh, yeah. The color profile. Yeah. I mean, the same goes with the HDR. Same thing. It's just
that's config what I mean, files.
The HDR. Same thing with that. Like, if you enable that, some people like, I hate it because it makes things dark, and it makes things white, and it keeps it gray. If you ever disable HDR, you'll notice the whole movie, film, everything is brighter naturally. And it's because of the way it's designed. I know some outlets do it well, and then if anybody ever put HDR playing Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, no, it's garbage. You have to disable it. It doesn't matter on the PlayStation or anything. I had it on PlayStation, it was horrible, turned it off. Had it on PC, did the same thing. I'm like, God damn, it's not just the PlayStation. It's just the fucking game doesn't know how to do HDR. But then you play like a Forza or something, and it looks amazing. It works. But with the console, by default, you have to have HDR. There's not like individual game. Oh, you want this HDR? Turn it on. Turn it off. No, it has to be across the board. And that sucks. It's the same for the Series X and the PS5. But anyway, the screen looks great. I've been playing some, I played like some of the older games. I put some old Nintendo games, Marble Madness and stuff like that. And that even worked out great because they also do the saturation and all the different levels. And then it's just an OLED. OLED is just an amazing screen with all the color that it supports. I played with the 90 refresh rate. It hurts for refresh rate in some of the games. That looks great. I played some Tony Hawk. Looks great. Tony Hawk always looks great. And again, is it really performing different? No. Because the innards are pretty much the same. And besides, like I said, the memory, that's the only thing that can really impact. And that's not going to make too much of an impact. That's just pumping out through the threads a little faster. But it's not like changing out the GPU or the CPU or anything. It just looks better. The lighting looks better. Everything pops more. Reflections look better, and then also the font looks crisper. That's one thing I definitely noticed. As somebody with vision issues and reading, it's like, wow, everything just, the text just, it's more clear and bolder for some reason. And I was like, oh, this is great, especially playing games that like or Diablo or anything that you have to read a lot for your specs and your outfits and your supplies and all that stuff. And I was like, oh, this is a lot. Oh, this is great. And it, even though it's a little bit larger, the 7.4, the lack of a bezel is very noticeable. I mean, I spent a lot of time in front of my Steam Deck. So once I turned it on, it's like it looks bigger than what it was. Hmm. You know, because it's brighter and with that extra space, I'm not seeing the bezel, just looking to the left and right and seeing in my fingers when usually there was like that big black bar, yeah. You know, for the bezel. It's like, holy shit. Like my daughter instantly, like, there was no hiding it. She walked by and she looked at it. And she's like, is that a new Hugo? Is that a new Hugo? Like, that's what she said. Like, it's, and she didn't even touch it. It's just that noticeable.
Adam's like, no, baby girl, this is Enzo.
This is Enzo, right? You know, and that's it. So I do enjoy it. I'm still spending time with it. There's a few other things I want to test out. But, I mean, I'm not expecting it to fall apart or anything. I mean, it's the same exact thing. I'm not expecting wonders. It's not going to do something magical. Like, I'm trying to think of games that don't play, but then some of the games that don't play, it's not because of the limitations of the Steam Deck. It's more of compatibility because of launchers. Like Burnout Paradise. We love Burnout Paradise, right? I would have loved to try the 90 hertz with the remastered, which supports the 60 and above on PC, but that doesn't work on the Steam Deck. Something's up with the launcher. So the launcher is hindering it from it to work, which sucks, because that's a game I really would have liked to see that run on there. I could play the other one, the old Burned Out there, Deluxe, whatever that works. But for some reason, the new one does not. And it has something to do with the launcher and getting hiccups. But overall, I'm enjoying it. I like it. I said it in my review, do you need one? No, you don't need one. Yeah, you don't need one. But if you're a heavy user of it, you like it, you want the best experience of it, and you're big on screens, and this is definitely a beautiful screen, then go for it, you know, if you want. And that's when I looked in about the limited. I'm like, what's going on here? Why is it still there? Is there a problem? Is it a glitch? I had a buddy told me that it wasn't working. I tried doing it, and when I go to check out, it turns out that it's blocking PayPal. And if you use PayPal, there's some issues with it. And I guess that's how they block the bots, because bots were using PayPal.
Well, here's the thing. PayPal has sort of switched around the way it works these days. So it's probably a universal thing. PayPal doesn't automatically deduct money from, like, if you don't have money in your account, it doesn't automatically deduct it from your account anymore.
So maybe that was it. So that's why it's coming up with the issue is through because of PayPal. But then it's like, I purchased games and stuff with PayPal. I had no issue. So I don't know why it was doing that for this. But anyway, so
if you're using PayPal, you have to specifically, if you have the options, you have to specifically choose to take the money directly from your bank account instead of it hitting your PayPal and then deducting it from there.
Then what's the point of using PayPal? The whole point of PayPal is to not be a direct.
There's two ways. Like, in other words, you take money and you put it into your PayPal, or you do a direct. In other words, it does a direct deposit from your account.
I get it. Because what's weird is because I have PayPal, but I have PayPal credit on there because it has like its own credit system. Right? And the whole point of me using it and why I always use it is because I hate going to websites and having to give my personal banking information or put my credit card information. So, do you want to save your stuff? No, I don't. But I know you're going to save it anyway without my permission. So whenever there's a PayPal option, I love doing that because it's like a middleman. It's like you're dealing with PayPal and PayPal has my private information, but you don't. And that's why I always used it. But if it's going to cause these issues, it's limiting the functionality, and I was like, no, then I don't want to use it anymore. But apparently the whole point is that was what's causing it, because if you don't use it, then you can get it right away with no issues. And when I looked into it more, that's when there's like, well, we're hearing that Valve is saying that it's limited time, not limited quantity. So I guess once the holiday's over or whatever, it'll be gone. And then next season, you will get another limited edition, and it'll look completely different. But it'll still be of this build. Because they said that they want to keep this going for at least 2 years.
Yeah, but yeah, Steam Deck OLED is the truth. Yeah. All right, let's move on. Eurocar also. See, I'm questioning whether this guy's a real fan of Throwdown or not. This question's kind of silly.
Oh.
Will Throwdown be streaming? Throwdown be streaming the Game Awards live this year? Well, considering we've done it for like the entire existence of this podcast, I think it's a pretty safe bet that we will, you know? So, yeah, December 7th, we will do our usual live roast of the Game Awards. That's what it really is.
Oh, Throwdown roasts the Game Awards.
Yeah.
Join us.
Yeah, also to that end, this Thursday's episode of Throwdown will be the last regular episode of the year, because after that will be the Game Awards stream, and then after that will be the Game of the Year special, the Throwdown End of the Year special, where we go over all the shit that happened in gaming this year. So yeah, stay tuned for that. And obviously we'll do an AMA as well for the last episode of the year, you know. So stay tuned, man. All right, let's move on here. Kind of related to all this handheld stuff. Alpha Chut. All right. The release of both the original and OLED Steam Decks have went relatively smoothly, and Valve implemented various measures to limit bot and scalper activity. Are there any examples of other companies being as good as Valve, or is it the exception?
Sony. With the PlayStation, where they did that line system. Remember they sent out those vouchers?
Yeah,
to the email for the PS5?
There was a lot of scalpers that got that fucking system, you know?
But if they just sent anyone that had, like, the whole thing with Valve is if you purchase something within X amount of time, then it meant it was an active account. If Sony would have did that, because I think they only sent the email out to certain people, right? That was the whole thing. Certain whales, whatever. I got one. Some people got them. Others didn't get it. But if they sent it to everybody who was inactive that purchased the game or something, it'd make things a lot easier. Because it's like, hey, report to this link at this date, at this time, and we'll put you in the queue. And then it'll just refresh for you. You don't have to do anything and say check out. Add item to cart and check out. If they did it that way and it was organized for everybody that has a PlayStation account, that has something active, that made the purchase, that qualify, that would be smooth sailing.
Yeah, the problem is they didn't do that, you know?
No, but they did some of it. They can go for next step further. But
yeah, but nobody's asking, has any company done it so far?
No.
Or is Valve the exception? It seems like Valve's the exception.
So far, yeah.
Valve is the exception. I mean, the thing about it, it's like it's a good way to move for essentially to prove that the people that have them out there, that are at least the people that have put them out and bought them, are pretty much people who are active members of the thing.
Yeah, I think Val's the only one that actually got eBay to delist pre-orders. So people had did pre-orders to the accounts and were selling those on eBay. And they pointed out that he's like, no, you can't have these people doing that because they don't own the product. They don't have it yet. And they're asking for full price for people. This is not right. And I guess eBay never paid attention to that. But after that, they pulled them all. So people can no longer sell pre-ordered accounts because they were doing that too. You know, buy something for 99 cents, then buy this and get the pre-order and then say, hey, give me the full price and then I will send you. But they were marking up the price, obviously. Meanwhile, you could still get the Steam Deck. I mean, that was the thing at the time. Yeah, you would get put in the other tier or whatever next window, but you were still able to get it. They never said, hey, no more this year.
Yeah, and remember, they were like, if your Steam Deck or Steam account is like less than 6 months old, you ain't getting this shit because they knew what was going to happen.
People make
new accounts and try to buy this thing. Uh-huh. Oh yeah, no, they definitely set an example, man. They really did. All right,
moving on. But the thing is, like, would a Sony or Xbox even do that? That's interesting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know.
Granted, Steam and Valve is a bit of a unique situation because it's a mostly digital sort of deal.
Yeah.
You couldn't really do that, especially if there's like retailers and stuff like that are selling it. Yeah. The only place that you can buy the Steam Deck is on Valve's site.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. That was simple.
Unless you're in Asia. Apparently you can go to a store and buy it in Asia. Like
they make them. They make them over there.
They make them over there. All right.
It's all on the streets.
Because they showed it in like a retail store and everybody was thrilled that they could buy one.
I don't remember if we talked about this on the Wednesday show, the episode before Thanksgiving. I'll ask the question. I think we talked about it, but I'm not sure. Also from Alpha Chuck, there were stories about Ubisoft accidentally putting full screen ads in game for Assassin's Creed Mirage. Do you believe this was truly an accident or the evolution of a dystopian nightmare? Regardless of whether we talked about it or not, I call bullshit on that being an accident, you know?
Bullshit. So wait, it was a splash screen before the game started?
Basically, you're playing the game, and in the video show, the guy, you know, opens up the map, but when you open up the map, you see an ad for whatever the fuck it was showing ad for. The ad ended back to the game. They made an announcement. They said this was a technical error. This was not intentional. Blah blah. I'm like, That's an interesting technical error. How the fuck does that work? You know?
Yeah.
So I call shenanigans on that.
They're not the worst offenders when it comes to this. Remember the 2K series 21 and 22 had commercials, full on TV commercials in the game during halftime. It would pump these like Honda ads and all kinds of stuff. Like, what the hell is happening?
But this is more like a commercial played during the middle of the match. Understand?
Yeah. No, I get it. But it sounds like it was a still frame. It was an actual video commercial. If you go to a map and all of a sudden it says, before you see that map, check out this new, you know,
But yeah, they came out to say it was an accident that was not supposed to happen. You know,
so. Accident? How does it? No, that means
why was that even in there in the first place?
Someone programmed it to do that at some point. Exactly. So it was an accident that happened earlier. That's what I get.
It got caught.
It wasn't supposed to happen this soon.
It's weird. It's like in the Assassin's Creed Mirage, Black Friday negative, 20%. That's weird because especially if you already own the game. You're
playing the game and it gives you an ad for the game.
Yeah. I think it's a mistake that it showed that thing. Okay. I suspect that some sort of ad in the game, you know, advertising DLC or whatever is going to be in the game. You know,
I'm wondering if they're doing a hub like Call of Duty. Like, for example, the Call of Duty now has this, it's just this Call of Duty and had a little trademark logo. People like, for the longest, like when it's launched, people are like, oh, I'm downloading Call of Duty 3. I don't see it anywhere in my queue. No, it's there. It's under Call of Duty, just general. It's a hub. You open that up and then it puts all your games in there, but it's messed up. Anyway, I have that there. I'm playing Call of Duty 3, but at the top, it's still an ad for Call of Duty 3, Modern Warfare 3. I'm in Modern Warfare 3. But I'm linked through this hub, so it doesn't really know. I guess it's not detecting that I have Modern Warfare 3, but there's other people that are on Modern Warfare 2, and they'll see it. But it's still annoying that every time I boot up, I am greeted with this, oh, did you know Modern Warfare 3 is now available? I'm like, yeah, I'm in it now, but no, because they're meshed together. So maybe that's what they plan on doing. Have a hub for Mirage, Valhalla, you know, all the other Assassin's Creeds and stuff. Like a home base. Remember when we had that for Halo? You guys remember any of the Halo Waypoint or whatever it was called? And it was the same thing. It had all the games listed. They keep track of all your activity across all of them. So you don't have to jump into each one. You could see your progress, see your trophies unlocked, Chivos or whatever. Well, Chivos on Xbox. And it was just one hub for all of them. And I guess that's what they were trying to, they're testing that they plan on doing. That would make sense to have an ad.
Yeah, very suspicious though, man. All right, moving on here. Atari 2600. How much do you think, Adam, this one's for you, I guess. How much do you think Call of Duty will increase Game Pass subscriptions? Do you think people who primarily play Call of Duty will adopt Game Pass?
I think it will definitely increase for people that don't plan on buying Game Pass, Call of Duty games. But I think it's really going to be for those who want to play the older ones, if they keep those multiplayer alive. There were some great ones, World at War and a few of the older ones, the World War II. If they can keep those up for that nostalgia feel, I could see that being very popular with people. It's like, hey, you want to play Call of Duty? So many times people talk, when I'm even playing, they're like, oh, remember when we played this old one? Oh, remember this one map? Yeah, I remember that. Well, whatever. And that's it. You move on. But if they're all on there, then you could say, yeah, I want to play. And if you can play from the cloud, if you don't have to waste time installing and it's just about booting it up and jumping in, I could definitely see that, the benefit. And I see a lot of people jumping in because it's not about just the newer Call of Duty. As we've talked about, there's multiple versions and there's the zombies. There's different zombies. A lot of people like the Black Ops Zombie 2, which was one of the best ones. Well, there you go. If it's all there on Game Pass, you can play it and don't have to own it. So I definitely think that it's going to pull in a huge audience just for the older ones. the new ones, of course, because people don't want to spend money. But the fact that all the old ones are going to be there, at least the way they said it's going to be there, then if those multiplayers are still live and work, that's going to be great.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't know the answer to this question. Like, I guess if you're like a true duty head, like maybe you will, like maybe it'll raise subscriptions. But then would that also like make Xboxes sell better?
Well, remember, it's not just that. It's other games from Activision. I'm sure they're going to dump all their Activision legacy titles and stuff on there, just like they did with Bethesda. They didn't just put Fallout, you know, and Skyrim. They put all the other ones on there. So I think I still think that'll be a big selling point because it's there and everybody wants to play Call of Duty, whether they like it or not. They'll just jump in or at least know that they have access to it. You know, even if they're like not into playing it, they're like, well, you never played it. Yeah, well, it's part of my service. You know, if I want to play it, I know I can play it. You know, if I play it with you sometime, yeah, I can do it. But at least I didn't shell out $70 to fucking play it once or twice with my buddies.
Real quick, I want to give a shout out to Killer Instinct, a.k.a. Reggie, Weapon X, for you old school Warzone guys. He said, yo, where my head's at? Breaking news, I just got the Platinum in Spider-Man 2. Let's fucking go. That's what's up, man.
Oh, yeah.
Listen. He got that Platinum.
Listen.
And Blitz says, I don't think Call of Duty will make a big difference because of the Xbox tax.
Now, and that's not a tax. I don't understand why people... We talked about this early, actually. There was a few other people.
Oh, Destin from IGN got in trouble over that shit over the weekend, man.
Well, he's not got been asking that issues.
Question, Brett.
It's just because we know the Switch tax, and it's an actual tax, because they charge $10 extra for ported third-party games. That's a tax. This, whatever is happening,
it's not a tax at all. It's just, basically, Xbox tax is just another word for Xbox bias. And as we explained on the last show,
that's what I'm saying. Right? That's what I'm saying.
It's fucking bias for, exactly. For a whole generation of shitty games. You know?
Yeah, and the shitty games that still can come out. Forget about old generation. We had one a few months ago. I mean, it's still happening. So, yeah, but it's not a tax. The wording is wrong, and I hate when I see that, because I was like, no, the tax, just like in real-world terms, it just implies money, you know, you're taxing something onto a current product or fee, and then that's not here.
It's not. But that's just their name for it. By the way, Segway Kings, man, so we're talking about Xbox right now, and I got a gripe with something Destin, right? I got beef with somebody. I don't have a beef with him. I got a beef with somebody he said. I'll get to that after this question. Mr. Jolly Yellow Nerd, what's going on, brother? All right. His question is, Starfield appears to have not made the massive impact that some had hoped for. From what I understand, it is a fine game, but it's not a hot-ticket system seller. You're right, sir. Is there a game coming soon that's currently announced and is being worked on at least that Microsoft may possibly hinge hopes on to become their system seller?
Call of Duty?
That's pretty much it. And we can't refer to this one. This one was already done, and this one's not officially a new Call of Duty. This is just
ask something like really quickly, like, I'm sure that when Starfield came out, we talked about how there was an increase in Xbox consoles.
No, we didn't. We said, I said it wasn't going to happen because I said it was a niche audience for it. I don't think this is...
Increase in consoles at that time or after the fact?
At that time.
Okay.
And I'm sure that we said that, yeah, it is a system seller because it sold systems. Like, unless I'm having like a weird memory at the moment.
I think we're talking about Spider-Man because this thing didn't push Xboxes. That's it. I could be wrong about that. I could be wrong.
I vaguely remember a story like that, Brian. I just don't remember if it's Starfield.
Yeah. Yeah. The story sounds familiar. I just don't remember if it's Starfield or not. Anyway, I forgot the fucking question. Think about what Brian said.
Do they have a game down the pipeline that would be a system seller?
They don't have nothing.
No.
There's nothing like nothing Starfield big. I remember seeing some stuff that I was like, oh, that looks cool, but like...
Oh, I do. There's one. I could say one, but we don't really know. I mean, we know it's in development. We just don't know release date. And that Indiana Jones. If that Indiana
that
Jones
shit ain't selling no systems,
that could be.
That's after that shitty fucking movie that came out. Nobody cares about that property. Anymore.
That's not. It's not based off of that movie. And
no, I'm just saying nobody cares about that property right now. It's tainted now. Two fucking bad movies in a row. Like no one cares anymore, man. You know.
Yeah, maybe Fable, but
maybe. What about Avowed? You know.
Avowed is going to be kind of same situation. They scale back. It's not going to be a Skyrim thing, but everybody's going to think it's going to be a Skyrim thing and then be disappointed when it's not a Skyrim thing. Go ahead and mark your calendars on that one. Remember when I said that so we can come back and check this episode. Because that's exactly what's going to happen. I guarantee everybody's gonna be like, oh, it's like Skyrim. No, it's not. They said that and then they walked that shit backwards and they're like, no, we can't do something as big as Skyrim. It's going to be like Outer Worlds version, like how Outer Worlds was to Starfield. It's going to be like that. So
I don't know about you guys. I'm tired of these big open worlds. It's just too many of them. I just want a streamlined run and gun, going there.
You sound like me in 2015, man.
I'm done. I'm done. You know? It's too many of them. There's too many. Everything is massive. After Valhalla, that caused a serious depression for me. Just looking at that map.
Like Baldur's Gate did. Like, have it actually be like, don't have 35 buildings that are there for no reason. Here's an idea. If you just want to, like, super compact, like, just do, like, three city blocks, but like have every door, everything, like I can like get into the nitty gritty of everything and fuck it up. Like, man, you know how much replay that, like, I mean, well, you don't have to, like, Baldur's Gate is showing that in terms of replayability. So like just make it dense. I think Starfield proved, like, I don't care if it's an entire galaxy of shit that is just spread out over 10,000 light years. I don't give a fuck. Nobody does. That's kind of what we showed. What we have showed is make one city like Baldur's Gate that is just super densely packed. People really love that shit.
Yeah, or like large open areas, environments like the Yakuza games. And it's not an open world, but it's a big open area, and there's a bunch to do on every block, like you just said with the Baldur's Gate. There's always something to do there. You don't have to do this long trek to get to another area just to do one objective. Plenty to do, and it's all running distance.
Dude, look at Shenmue. Shenmue was just put. The whole game took place in one fairly small town.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine. Tell us stories like that. Like, there's no reason to that. You would need to leave Night City. Like, Night City, even Night City could have been about 10 times smaller, to be real honest with you. It didn't need to be that big. They only made it that big for car driving, but there's nothing built around the car driving, so they both just kind of end up being vestigial and unnecessary, to be real honest with, like, Tony, I know you love that game.
Yeah.
Can you defend the reason that there needs to be car driving, considering there's not really anything else built around it?
Because as a city, you need to drive around. Imagine a game that's built in a futuristic city with no cars. That would be weird.
Oh, my God. You know what I mean? Like a futuristic city like Blade Runner and that kind of shit where most of the stuff is densely packed and walking distance.
Yeah. I would hate playing a game like that. You know,
there's no reason to drive in Night City.
It's a city. You have to drive in a city.
No, you don't. Look at just said it. Yakuza games. You don't drive.
Yeah, but there's you run like everywhere. You want, like Cyberpunk. You need that shit to be grand and epic and big. You don't want it to be too like that game. I will and remember. I'm saying this as a guy who's tired of open world games. That game needed to be open world. You know, like
if you get rid of the two missions that have Delamine on it, it's not the same game.
those are good missions, you know. But generally,
not even that.
Go ahead.
There's one mission when you're in Delamine and you have to drive, and that's one of the craziest fucking scenes in the whole fucking game.
Yeah.
But Brett,
generally speaking, I agree with you. But there's always exceptions, obviously, you know. But generally, I agree with you.
Especially in dystopian future games, you could convince me that there's not a lot of cars. Because honestly, I hate to be weird about it, like, it's a very America-centric viewpoint that you need cars. Like, a lot, like most European cities and, like, a lot of ideas.
Night City's in America, though.
Yeah, but even, like, almost all ideas for future cities and whatnot involve them being walkable, right? Like, so like it, I can see it being like Yakuza type thing in the future, right? Like everything's built on top of itself and you're the whole game takes place in like 9 square blocks. Like, again, we're talking about like, it could still be open, but does it, do you really need to drive 2 minutes to the next destination?
No, when there's again, no generally real speaking, yeah, generally gameplay? Speaking, I agree with you on that. You can make a whole game within a finite space. I agree with that. I mean, that's how games used to be, right? You know?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you don't have to give up the idea of open world. It just doesn't need to be unnecessarily huge and empty. Like, I love open world. I love the choice of where to go. But, like to me, Horizon is not open world, man. Like, it's gated off zones of a progressing order. Right, but those are levels.
But you could literally walk from one end to the other, like continuously, no loading. Like that's we had this discussion before. I'm not trying to go down that road, yeah, but like, you literally can walk from like the top of the map all the way down, no loading whatsoever.
And that's my point. But that's what I'm getting at. You can, but it's pointless because the gameplay is built in such a way that you move from area A to area B to area C. You move, you know, like, oh, no, there's ice there, and you haven't gotten your cold weather gear. You better go to this other place to get the cold weather gear before you go there. Like,
that's Zelda. That's that fucking
yeah,
Zelda.
I know.
Yeah.
I know, and that's the thing. That's not truly open world, right? Like, it has all the – it has a lot of the trappings of open world in the sense of, like, yeah, you can walk from point A to point B, but you don't truly have a choice, and that's kind of the whole point of why open world at one point was big is choice and freedom. And now you have open world with choice and freedom stripped away. And what's the fucking point at that point? That's what I'm saying. Like why even have an open world in Horizon, right? Like you don't have the choice that's why. To go.
Tick the box at the, you know, that's why tick the box.
Yeah. To tick the box, but it could have very easily been areas or stages because that's really like, honestly, all that it fucking is.
Oh, I agree with you.
We now have
Horizon, I give you that. I'm just pushing back on Night City. But again, generally, I agree with your assessment here.
Yeah. Well,
unless it's God of War.
God of War does not need to be open fucking world. No.
Yeah. Most modern games don't need to be open world. And the open world in such a terrible way. Like it's a derivative way with all the choice, the freedom, and the fun taken out of it. It makes other games not really able to check the box where you have choice and freedom and fun, right? Like that's one of the things I love about the Souls series. A lot of times they're like, you have to get these areas, you have to ring these two bells, but like how you go about it, man, that's fucking that's up to you.
And what did they do with their last game? Made an open world.
Yeah, but they did it in a way where they're like, you want to skip to the poison swamp of death? Go right the fuck ahead. You want to skip this entire zone? You can do that. There's secrets everywhere. Like, that's the way to do it. Like, there is no point where they in that game where they held me and said, you have to do this thing. Well, I there probably actually is a couple points in that where it does funnel you in. But for the most part, you can skip just about any zone. The game is fucking crazy, man.
Yeah. Anyway, Xbox doesn't have anything. To answer the original question.
Is that where we started?
Yep. And we went down a deep rabbit hole, didn't we?
Well, dude, I felt like we had to vamp. It feels like a light.
No, we're not vamping. We're good on questions. But I did want to talk about what Destin said on Twitter, because this annoyed me. I'm going to read this specific part.
Who's Destin?
He's a guy from IGN.
He's an IGN guy.
Yeah, that everybody hates, even though he's the most milquetoast dude out there. I'm going to read this statement. Please let me finish because I know somebody will want to jump in the middle of it. I'm going to read this statement.
Bad.
Yeah, I'm going to read this statement. And I have to tell myself, Tony, you got to read this whole thing. Don't stop halfway and start groaning. I believe the Xbox brand is about to have an incredible 2024, and it feels like it's just the tip of the iceberg. I've always seen the path to further success for Xbox. It feels like they have all the pieces set up exactly right now, and once they hit their stride, it will be undeniable. How many times have we fucking heard that for the past 10 years?
That's just his opinion.
Are you fucking kidding? Cool. No, we've heard the same shit from everybody for the last 10 years. Every year, this is the year of Xbox. This is the year of Xbox. This is the year of Xbox. Wait till E3. Wait till E3. Wait till E3. Every fuck for 10 years.
Well, the only way it would apply more to this is because of this acquisition. That's the only thing I could think of, and they have more developers to work on all the projects. I'm tired of
hearing this shit.
Whoa, of course, we haven't seen anything materialize, but this actually has valid claim just for the money that they spent.
How am I out of line? So you're telling me we haven't heard this exact same thing for the past 10 years?
But I am saying you are letting that exhaustion fucking blind you, right? Like, I am not saying that Xbox is going to come out here swinging. But you cannot objectively look at where they are placed and positioned in the market and say that it is not the best that it has been in a fucking decade.
I'm saying because I've heard this shit for 10 fucking years.
Right? Just because you've heard that shit. Look, if you look at it from that point of view, if they ever did turn around, you would never see it becoming because you would have heard this shit for X amount of years, right? Like, that logic doesn't fucking hold up to scrutiny. And I get that you've heard that a lot, but tell me that this isn't a better position than they were in when they were fucking pushing a broken half system when they pulled the Kinect out of it, or when they had completely lost all good grades. Like, they are at least on an upswing. You have to fucking admit that. They're in a better place now than they've ever been. That statement is more warranted now than it has been in like 10 fucking years. Now, I'm not saying, I want to be very clear, I am not saying they are the fucking dark horse that is going to come in and this is going to be the X amount of years for Xbox and here we fucking go, let's do this. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is they look the best that they have in fucking recent memory, and I don't think that you can refute that.
That same argument, Brett, that you're even, that nuance that you're bringing in, that's been
that has portrayed been too
in the past couple of years.
That's too many times.
They acquired Ninja Theory. Oh, this is, you know, now they got, you know, a AA studio that produces games all the time. They've released Bleeding Edge, and that's it. And now they acquired the
Bethesda. This is the best time ever. And look
how Obsidian, where that went.
Yeah. Yeah.
They got Obsidian, and there's like, now we got our follow-up.
But now you can say it again. They made another acquisition.
Progressively better. What's your point?
But they haven't. But it hasn't shown anything. Nothing has
like
come
the whole.
You know,
the whole point of what was being mentioned here is Destin saying, 2024 is the year because this is where everything's going to drop. And what we're saying is we say this every year. Let it just be the year whenever it is, because if you're going to keep saying it, the track record just isn't there. Yeah. And then, now people want to take credit. It's like, I told you 2024 was going to be the year. Motherfucker, we've been hearing this for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm saying. It's not a bang. It's a whimper, man. Like, there is no point in which the beat is going the beat is going to drop, right? Like, it is a slow build. They are year over year doing a little bit better each year. There's not going to be this giant fucking springboard, right? Microsoft is not going to go fucking Super Saiyan. And if you're waiting for that, then you're going to miss the fact that they are in a better position now than they've been.
Oh my God, I'm tired. Right?
Like,
of shit.
This, but I feel like the fact that like people are waiting for that shit waiting for Microsoft to go Super Saiyan, like, obscures the fact that like they're doing pretty good. They're not doing bad. They're clawing their way up slowly. It's not pretty. It's not triumphant. There's not going to be that fucking moment, though. There's just going to be a moment where you look up and you're like, hey, actually, it's not treating me too bad.
Here's the thing, Brett.
I think we'll never get there.
Real quick, I jump in. Brett, I don't dispute what you're saying, man. But you know where I'm coming from, bro. It's, I'm tired.
I know where you're frustrated from.
Because you're not wrong in anything you said. I would agree with you most. I want to agree with you, but I'm tired of hearing this same fucking shit every time. You know, and my thing is like. We haven't seen any of the fruits of any of these acquisitions. None of thing. We saw Starfield. That was supposed to be the game, and it can't. And it hit like a thud. That, you know, we don't see this reflected in console sales. We don't see this reflected in sales.
But we're seeing games come out, whether they're good or bad. There are stuff coming.
Yeah, but it's not
High doing Five anything, Rush man. And stuff.
Yeah, go ahead, Brett. Never mind.
That's what I'm telling you. I'm sitting there. I'm like, I've been talking to you about this. I'm like, look at all these games on Xbox that I want to play, and look at all that I'm getting for free. and look at like what a generalized good experience it's been. Like, look how it's become a viable gaming platform. And I actually have things to play before I even buy games. Like, we've talked about
this. And this is what I...
Let me finish.
And then I got to
record. You yourself are just as guilty of waiting for that Super Saiyan moment, just on the other side of things. They're saying, hurrah, hurrah, this is going to be a big fucking Super Saiyan moment. And you're sitting there saying, it's not valid until they have that big Super Saiyan moment. Like, here's the clue, motherfucker.
It has become a valid platform.
I have hundreds of dollars of fucking games that I haven't had to buy. I am a satisfied customer. I'm not fucking Bigfoot. We exist, right? Like, and I get real sick of this shit because it sounds like nobody's willing to justify or validate the fact that this is a viable fucking platform with a good customer experience, right? Like, I'm not even talking about fucking Nintendo here.
It has nothing to do with
numbers.
Why is it not reflected in the console sales, man?
If you would listen instead of fucking interrupting, that's exactly what I was just fucking saying.
Okay,
is I'm not talking about numbers. I'm not talking about number of units sold. I am talking about customer experience, which is a prelude to any of those fucking things. I don't give a shit about numbers sold if they're treating their customers like shit. There's nothing on the fucking table, right? We can't muddy those waters if we're talking strictly about, hey, here's the things that they're offering. That's what I'm talking about, right? And when I'm talking about like them providing a good customer experience, why is your counter to that, well, they haven't sold that many numbers? Like, what the fuck does that have to do with anything other than trying to undermine my argument that they're providing a decent fucking service, man?
They are.
Well, the service part is doing well.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying the service part. It's just not translating to sales, man. You know, that's all I'm saying. And here's the thing. Brett, yes, you're getting a lot of games. I'm not undermining any of that. I think it's fantastic. Most of those games you could play on PlayStation, man. So it's like you're not even getting
you don't have to buy them.
Yeah, like, yes, you get Hi-Fi Rush, you get Starfield Cool, no one's denying that. But most of those games are on PlayStation. You're not really getting a unique experience on Xbox, you know?
Well, I mean, there's...
You're getting a unique experience in your wallet.
Yeah. I'm not paying $70 a pop for them. That's pretty fucking unique.
Yeah, but again, it's not translating to console sales, man. You know,
it is it's translating to subscriptions, though.
I don't get this whole discussion. It's like we're talking about first party games, and somehow we're talking about Brett's love for Game Pass. Like, what does that have to do with anything?
No, we're not just talking about that's the thing. It's not just about first party games. It's
But that's the question. That's the question that was asked. And somehow we got into this whole, I love my Xbox.
Yeah, no one's denying that. No one's taking that away from me.
What I don't understand with, because I agree, there's really nothing when it comes to first party stuff that's coming out.
By the way, we're not getting into it. I don't really care about it.
You know, I don't really care about a lot of this shit. Starfield stuff, it didn't do anything for me. It didn't move the needle. Hi-Fi Rush is the only one that really got me playing, and I enjoyed it, but that was it. So when they say, oh, well, this could be the year that changes it, I think that does apply every year only because they keep evolving. They keep adding more. Now, if it was just the same studios and like giving them the benefit of the doubt, just imagine one studio that came out with a flop, another studio, another game's coming out. Well, we can give them this could be their year, and then it flops. Well, you know what? They got some new developer. This could be their year. Another new guy came to help them. Could be. This is different, though. They're spending a lot of money to make this better. They're doing everything possible to the point that the FTC and other organizations are trying to stop them because it's scary of what they're trying to do. So if this year, I would go on the flip side, if this year is a bust for them, then it's never going to happen. This is it. They have hit the top. They've spent ridiculous money for the number one IP in the world when it comes to Call of Duty. And if they can't get this, a full-fledged, and I don't want to hear about this version. This version was already produced in the bag before that purchase was done. They had no say in this. When the next one comes, and they put the time and the money, if that next one fucking bombs, And we start seeing a significant drop off in player install and interest and no one buying battle pass and shit. Then, yes, they've been cursed. Somebody cursed this company.
Xbox tax.
See, you're feeding with the tax. Give it a new name. Come on, be original with this. Fuck
Xbox,
the tax.
You know, Xbox bias. There you go. Let's go back to what it was originally called.
Exactly. It's Xbox bias. Then we'll go with that. But you know what? Then it's valid because this shit keeps failing. We can't give it a pass. No one here is giving it a pass. Well, there's a half ass game, but you know what? It's good enough. No, it's not. It's not. It's not good enough. So, but the truth is, I don't think anything at this point. I think that they've put such a stench in the market that no matter what comes out, people are still going to give it the shady look. No matter what it is, they're still going to give a shady look. It's still that. Microsoft. Yeah, and I don't see that ever going away. I think it will always be the two separate, just like Nike and Reebok. I like Nike, but Reebok had the pump. Yeah, but it's a gimmick. You know, it's always going to be tarnished. So it's the same thing. I don't see them ever getting out of this. If you're in it, you're in it. And for like Brett's reasons, Game Pass, I see that as a plus. It helps me with my kids. I don't have to buy them every damn game that comes out. They see it. They play it. They don't like it. I didn't spend any extra money for it. That's fine with me. Yeah, and that could be it. That could be just what Microsoft becomes. It's known as that gaming service. Do they come out with exclusives? Yeah. Are they good? No. But they try. And that's it. And we have competition. Let's be honest. And it will be, and that's it, because the end result is even worse. We don't want one big publisher. That's Sony. We don't want that. And who is going to fill this? We've seen Amazon come in, that fell apart. We've seen so many others come and go. No one seems to do it.
And where's Gear 6, man? Where's Gear 6?
That's what I'm hoping for. I would, but that's me. I can't say that's a system seller because I don't know. The only people that I know play are the same fucking people that are in their 40s and my age that still play. Hell, look at me. I'm still playing Gears 4 Horde mode every weekend. It's like, why? You know, it's just we like it. We enjoy it. That's our thing. Gear 6 will come. We'll play that.
I played it with a buddy of mine, and he just let me for dead.
Damn. See, I told you, he's not a good guy. That dude is not a good guy.
By the way, Adam, question for you from Kishak. Should we applaud Xbox for trying?
Anybody should be applauded for trying, whether Xbox or your buddy that's at his job and he's trying to get promoted up and he's doing extra OT. You know, everybody, if you're ever trying, you can't be knocked for trying in any industry. We all know this. That's a no-brainer. If you're not trying is when it becomes a problem, when you're stagnant, when you're not doing anything, then you shit on them. You're like, hey, they came out with this shitty game. All right, next year they said they're going to make it better. Guess what? It's the same shitty game with DLC. They didn't add anything. They just put DLC. New features are shit you have to pay for on top of it. But no, we're not getting that. They are trying. When they stop and this shit isn't working, then it's a serious problem. But I think either way, they still got that stench on it. And that stench isn't going to go away anytime soon.
I don't know, you know, like I mentioned earlier with the whole Destin thing. It's like we say this thing every year, but I sure as hell hope that one of these years it becomes that, because we're seeing the whole issue with this is Microsoft is the worst at this. Nintendo is the best at this, at just releasing first party titles that change the world, that people gravitate towards, that become zeitgeist games and all that stuff. And Microsoft is so bad at it that they allow for fucking Sony to release two first party games per year, and people are fucking satisfied. Or a fucking remaster, The Last of Us, and people are fucking satisfied. And that's the whole thing with competition, man. So fucking Microsoft is well below their weight.
I keep thinking about it with this, of the 360, and why was that so special? What was so special? It wasn't really a game. You can't say, oh, well, Halo. Yeah, that was all right, but then Call of Duty was much better, and that came out during that time also. And then Gears is still, it's a shooter, running gun. It's fun and everything, but it's still not for everybody. What was it that made it special that the other ones weren't doing at the
cheaper.
Time?
It was cheaper than PlayStation.
No, you know? Nope, wasn't that. It wasn't even that. It was the multiplayer experience. It had online. That online experience was completely unique and different, and that's what pulled people in. That's the first. You had casuals, not PC, you could already do this, but people at home grabbing a headset and talking to family and friends in their homes and playing games with them, that's what really sold that thing. But then when you get the PS4 coming out and it can now do it integrated with no issues and no lag and problems, and it's like, oh, wow, this does that as well. And then they wound up getting the Call of Duty license, and that was the big game to play for that type of experience. And then it moves on. So 360 really wasn't that special besides the online integrated experience. And I think that's the problem. Is it, did they ever really have any standout games? They have a racing game, a first-person shooter, a third-person shooter,
Gears,
and
that's pretty, it. Pretty monumental, it's, man, back then.
It's, you know? No. Oh, it's great. It was groundbreaking for a bunch of things. Yeah. The Roadie Run, the Blood, and all
that. Roadie Run.
But it didn't pull it. It didn't push it. Gears 4, 5, it's not one of those franchises like a Call of Duty that everybody runs out and buys. Forget about console selling, just a must-have game. If someone was to say, what is a must-have game for Xbox? I can't tell them. I don't have one. I mean, yeah, it's subjective. What are you into? What do you like? But I can't tell you one. As opposed to for a PlayStation, what's a must-have game? Well, fucking, who doesn't like Spider-Man? That's it. Well, God of War. You know, that experience, big burly guy, you know, fighting with a family, good story with his kid and all stuff. You can relate. People relate. Yeah. This is good. All right. You can't relate. You don't like the kid. But you know what? It's still a great story. It's a great story. It's
not my God of War.
It's not your
God of War. The franchise, people like it, you know. Anyway.
Like the old God of War franchise.
You know. Brian, do you have any thoughts on this?
Can you reread his quote?
Destin's, right? Fuck, I gotta pull it up again.
I'm still trying to figure out why.
Again, I'll read the quote, but remember, you've heard it. No, I just personally got to bring up, I'm like, oh, how many times? We've been saying this, we've been hearing a version of this since Throwdown has been around, man.
No, but I'm just trying to figure out. You said there was hate.
He got a bunch of hate. Destin always gets hate, though. He always gets hate.
But what was... I don't. He didn't say that they're better than everyone. They're going to be the best.
He didn't get hate. He didn't get hate for that quote. He got hate because he questioned what the Xbox tax was, and he debunked it rightfully. Because you know, here's like, if you want to call it the bias, I get it. But there is no Xbox tax, and he's trying to explain that, and the motherfuckers came at him. You know, but Brian, I'll read the quote for you again. I believe the Xbox brand is about to have an incredible 2024, and it feels like it's just the tip of the iceberg. I've always seen the path to further success for Xbox. I feel like they have all the pieces set up exactly right now, and once they really hit their stride, it will be undeniable.
Well, what's undeniable is something that he said. He is a fanboy. He's openly said that. He loves Xbox. It's his preferred console. He has a PlayStation. Loves PlayStation. Loves doing all that. But remember, he was also on... Nothing wrong with that. He was on Podcast Unlocked. Maybe he's still on that. The IGN Xbox podcast. So I don't... This is his opinion. He wants to think positive about something like that. That's fine. Now, if he was to come out and said that there's no competition, that everybody else is going to fail, it's them, 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 they're the best of the best, then yeah, there's arguments there. But no, it sounds like he's just giving his thoughts. Yeah.
The hate didn't come because of that. It came because of his video about Xbox tax. I just want to call that quote because I've been hearing it for a fucking decade. Anyway, Brian, what do you think of it?
I just think it's fairly milquetoast quote. It's just saying that, Xbox are in a good position to do well. It's like, well, yeah, they should be. I mean, they spent this whole generation like building up to, well, building stuff in general. So, yeah, they should be in a good place to do well. Whether or not they will or won't, it's to be seen. Yeah. But again, as Tony has said, like the Xbox bias going on, who knows what they'll do. But
that'll never go away. I never see going away.
I don't think they'll get a mass appeal hit like what Sony has with stuff like Spider-Man. But then again, do they need to have a mass appeal hit? Or are people just wanting them to have a mass appeal hit so that they can say, oh yeah, they're now on the same playing field as Sony?
Well, if you ask Phil, then it's the latter. Then that's it.
I guess it depends on if you're asking us or you're asking like the general public.
Because his whole thing is it's all about the subs and people playing engagement. If they're and he sees engagement as subscribers, if that number is going up, whether it's third party or first party that's on that service, it doesn't matter. They're subbing. So then that's all plus. These games come out, maybe they're not on that level of Spider-Man or those, but they're like, they're good. It's a new IP exclusive to your platform, excluding PC, and it's free. You didn't buy it. So that that. They see that all as plus. Remember, that's what he got shitted on. It was like, oh, we're never going to be PlayStation. We're never going to. And they're like, what? How dare you say that? He's like, what? I'm just being honest. I'm not looking at that. That's not my goalpost right now.
Yeah. All right. That was a good discussion. The last two questions of the night from Richard Bailey Jr. of the Coalition.
Oh, I've heard of him.
All right. First question is, did anyone on Throwdown take advantage of any Black Friday deals?
Well, I don't know if it's gaming related, but I got a new laptop.
Yay. Let's go. Well, you can play games on it, you know, so.
And it's got ray tracing.
Oh, yeah, it does.
I got a pool table coming.
Oh, nice.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I mean, it wasn't just Black Friday. It's like they dropped the price. Yeah, and I was like, oh, okay. And then I waited and see if they were going to drop it again. They didn't, but they already took a big drop. So
is it a normal pool table or is it?
No, it's a 50. It's a 55 pool. Inch. No, right? Pocket. I can already play that now. So I can, like, oh, right? I'm off camera for a reason.
You know?
No, but it's something that it got great reviews. It's awesome. It's got foldable legs, so that way you could easily store. But it's a good size. And it has official ball types and the nice felt. It's good quality. I watched a bunch of reviews and read reviews. A lot of people love it, and it was a good price. So I was like, all right, I'm going to get this. It'll be for the family for Christmas. I'm not telling anybody. So once it shows up, it's going to be like, oh, we got something a little extra. And boom, let's play some pool.
Nice. Not gaming related, but, and this is kind of weird for me because I don't really buy, physical books. I just read them on Kindle, but, they were having like a 3 for $2 sale on Amazon. And I really like the way those new, like, Elric book looks. So I'm like, I'm going to buy those. So I bought them, you know, I saved some money. And just to tie it into gaming, Elric.
Wait, physical book?
Physical actual books. You know,
you touching paper again?
Yeah, man. What's up with that, man? I sold.
You get paper cuts and chemicals.
Yeah. Yo, man, you got papers?
Yeah, no, but it does have a lot of nice illustrations. I'm like, I want that. I want those illustrations. You know,
pretty pictures.
To tie it into gaming, The Witcher, you know, pretty much ripped off everything from Elric. So there you go.
Kishak says, honestly, Black Friday this year felt weak. I don't know.
I think it was stronger this year than last year.
You know.
There's a lot of suspect deals, what I call, where in other words, they say it's a sale and it's not really a sale.
Did you see, Manny, did you see that one video from Target or whatever it was? It was Target. Basically, they had the Black Friday like tag, right? And then they pull it off and then it said sale the same fucking price. You know?
No, there was a deal. But my buddy got a PlayStation 5 for $100 less.
Oh, yeah. That was happening, yeah.
That was a sale. He was like, I wasn't in the market for it, but for this price, I'd buy that for $1.
Yes.
You know? I mean, I got $5 off of mine for buying off of GameStop.
Nice.
Power to the players.
Power to the players, I guess.
Yeah. So Manny, you got $5 off. I guess that's your thing.
Because I still have the power up rewards thing, and if you spend a certain amount of money on things, they give you money off. So they already applied it on there. So I got a couple. Pretty much got like the tax off.
Nice.
or a little bit of the. So it's a little, you know.
That's good.
Not bad.
Yeah, Brett, did you indulge in any Black Friday-ness this year?
No, it's slow tattoo season always around this time of year.
Oh, shit.
Which is weird. You would think this is the time they want to do it. They're like, I got to prove to Gina I love her. Put this hard tattoo, please.
Damn, Gina, I want this tattoo from Brett.
I promise I won't sleep with your sister again.
I mean, there's not much that I really need. Like, I can't think of anything that. Like, maybe like an ice maker or something like that. But like at a certain point, you're just looking for shit to buy. And I'm like, you need to do that.
Brett, remember our last conversation? Like somebody asked us like, yeah, it was last week. They asked us like, what present do you want from Santa? And you and I kind of the same answer. It's like, yeah, we just buy shit when we need it, man. You know, like the Elric things that kind of just hit me out of nowhere. But generally, I was like, I have all this shit already. I'm good, you know? Like I'm a day one person.
There was something. What was it? You posted in chat. You were like with the eyes and stuff. I was like, oh, I don't need it, but I should get it. What was that?
Probably a Steam Deck OLED.
No, it was something else. Because you were like, oh, and then you were going to get a credit card for because you get a discount.
Oh, yeah, the MacBook. Yeah. That's the MacBook. But I want that. I have a plan for that. I'm waiting, you know? But yeah, Brad, I'm generally with you. But here's the thing. Not gaming related whatsoever, but you've piqued my curiosity. Why is this slow tattoo season, Mr. Murdoch?
He doesn't even know. Why is this?
Yeah, you said this was slow tattoo season. Yeah.
Yeah, why is that?
Because everybody's spending their money on other shit. Like, tattoos fall in this very weird place of, like, somewhere between a commodity and a luxury. So when you have things like holidays where people spend money on decorations or gifts or things like that, like, that same ancillary budget that would go to tattoos tends to go towards gifts and food and things like that.
So what is the season then? Yeah, if this is not that. The season. Yeah, what is
tax season? Ooh, that makes sense. Motherfuckers got extra money. Shit.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to get this tattoo of a Shoji and I love her.
Yeah, I mean,
and then that fucking bitch cheats on you and leaves.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. People get tattoos year round. It's not like it just dries up and we don't have people getting them. But like, it's definitely busier in like I want to say April, May, June, July is like the fucking busiest because everybody's wearing less. They want to show their tattoos off, even though they should really be kind of getting them in the wintertime anyway. And yeah, November, December, January is kind of the slower portion. So it's kind of ironic and it sucks because like it always slows down when I need money. And like it slows down for the exact reason that I do need money.
Yeah, because of the holiday. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I need to buy fucking food for Thanksgiving and I got to buy some Christmas stuff and. You know, the weather gets warmer, weather gets colder, so the bills go up. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, the utilities. I'm not sure if anybody else's utilities have, like, fucking crippled. Oh, yeah, mine's
too. Did you do the plan, the three-month plan? That's what I switched to.
No, ours went to, like, a metered time. So basically it was like, well, it's real simple. Just don't use electricity between, like, noon and 8. You're like, sure, cool. Yeah, that'll be easy. I'll black out every – fuck you guys. And you know, just groceries, like, man, everything's expensive. So, it's not one of those like, well, I can't afford to do anything on Black Friday. It's like it's just one of those like, I don't have enough extra money that I'm just trying to find ways to spend it, and I can't really think of anything I particularly want or need. If anybody can suggest something, sure. Cyber Monday is tomorrow. So like, I'm down. But like, I just bought a laptop.
Or now.
And like you can ask Tony. I got a pretty fucking good laptop, really good, actually.
Really good, really good. All right, Brian. I know you guys have Black Friday over there too. Did you get anything?
Nope. I'm kind of like Brett, where I don't think there's anything I really need at the moment. Most games I'm looking forward to just not down price enough yet. So I was like, yep, I'll just wait. Tech wise, again. I have my PC, have my TV, have my PS5. So I'm good. So nothing.
Cool.
Black Friday is kind of like a weird thing now. Like, there's no need for it anymore, I think. It's just like.
Well, at least we're not hearing of the crazy riots at stores. Yeah, remember when that was a thing?
Brian, perfect kind of segue to the next question, Cyber Monday, because I do feel that Cyber Monday, it makes no fucking sense anymore, right? Think about it like this, right? Back in the day, Black Friday. You go to the store to buy things, and Cyber Monday is the digital version of that, right? But Black Friday is now just done online. The fuck are we doing?
It's just trigger words now. That's all it is. Yeah. It's just trigger words. They're like, come on, y'all, this is the deal day. Come on. You know
it. No, it's very intuitive. Black Friday refers to 3 days. I mean, I don't know why you can't understand Friday means 3 days, Tony. It's not that hard.
Yeah. Well, that could be Brett. It means 4 days, man. Right?
I have some that say Black Week. They don't even say Black Friday. They'll say Black Week. Right? Yeah. Why they got me black, right? they're like, it's all
week long. I was thinking a bit tomorrow with the stupidity of this statement. Black Friday starts on Thursday now.
Mm-hmm. Cyber Monday started on Saturday for some sites. I got some emails. It was like, oh, yeah, Cyber Monday early.
I was converting my Black Friday pages to Cyber Monday. So, yes. And yes, your boy did work all weekend for you guys, for the fucking deals, you know?
Speaking of getting your money.
For you.
Yeah. Go ahead, Brett. What happened?
That speaking of the season where you get your money, this is your time.
It kind of is, man. I was with my mom this whole weekend and shit, and then today I was like, man, I don't fucking take the bus. And I was like, Tony, you made a lot of money, you know, extra money, because it was 9.5. Take a fucking Uber back. So I did, you know? It was great. Like, oh yeah, I made extra money this weekend. Anyway, so yeah, is anybody going to indulge Cyber Monday? Same answer, you know, probably not, but we'll see, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's nothing really I've been chopping at the bit for, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm good.
I mean, honestly,
I'm ready to build my VR room with treadmill and vest. And happy man.
You know what? I was thinking about that treadmill also, the Pelican one, and they also do the bike and stuff. But they don't really explain the pricing, because I know it's all about subscription services. How much is that subscription? But it sounds great. And you have a screen, there's a whole team of people there. It's as if you're in the room with them, whether you're running on or riding a bike, doing a spin class. Those sound great.
Yeah, but I'm good, you know. All right, that's going to do it for us, man, for tonight. So, yes, a couple of show notes. So, we will be back on Thursday, obviously, and that's going to be the last normal show of the year, because after that, we're going to have the Game of the Game Awards stream / roast. Then a week after that will be the the year-end special. And then after that, we'll have the AMA special, and that'll close us out. We'll take two weeks off like we usually do and come back for another year, man. As far as plugs, we will be coming back to you with the Invincible podcast tomorrow night. That'll be me, Brett, Dana, Carlos, maybe Chris. You know, we'll see about that. It'll be dope. And Brett, what I'm going to do is I'm going to watch the episode right before we do the podcast or something fresh. I haven't seen it yet, you know? I know what happens, obviously. By the way, I'm so glad I read those fucking comics. Motherfuckers are spoiling shit on Twitter, you know? So I was like, yeah. And you don't even go on Twitter, so you're good. You're fine, you know? But yeah, Invincible. The greatest podcast in the universe is coming back, people. And then we're taking a break for like fucking a year probably
till the next crazy fucking insane, that is, man. So crazy,
it's because of the writer's strike, you know?
Is it? I thought this was already done in the can though, because it was so long ago. Remember, this was supposed to come out almost earlier this year. Yeah. But they put it on hold, and
it's both. Yeah, it was the actors and writer's strike, all that shit hit at the same time. So
you're saying it's not even done?
I don't know.
Like they just said, because that's what I thought. It was just like The Boys. The Boys, they said it has been finished, yeah. And that they just didn't want to have it out for the strikes. And then now they didn't want to have it out to bump in with Gen V, and it wanted to bump into Invincibles. Oh, so they had to space it. So it's got pushed so far back now.
Yeah.
Because everything was bumping into each other.
I don't know. But yes, that's what I got going on over there. That's on the Coalition, by the way. Coalition.com with a K. YouTube channel as well, you know. And speaking about other YouTube podcasts, Adam, what's going on with iMegans?
Myself and Rich and Carlos, we broke down and discussed and gave our opinions of the whole Season 8, final season for Fear the Walking Dead. That hot garbage of a season should have never happened. Yeah. We talk about why it should have never happened. I think Rich gave it a very colorful description over on YouTube, more than what I did for the streaming version of the podcast version. So if you're interested in hearing that and what we had to say, you can check it out. And we will be back. That's on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube. But we'll be back in February 25th. That is the release date for Rick and Michonne.
Nice.
So we'll see if that can take off.
We will see. All right, people, we're done here. So make sure you follow through on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. You can also find us on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show. That's two words, Throwdown Show. Throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. And if you have been watching us on the YouTubes, and enjoyed our videos, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when our premieres go live. And we will probably start doing the simulcasting next year, people. So stay tuned for that, you know. It'll be good. We'll be all over the place. Thank you, Twitch, for releasing that. But yeah, links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
Like Mussolini or Kennedy, I'm the cult of personality.
Carlos Romero.
I can't follow that up. Peace.
Adam Vail.
I get piggyback off that. That was my Black Friday gift. We got CM Punk back in WWE. There you go.
It came cheap.
Cheap for me.
Brett Murdoch.
It's been real, people.
And Brian Manjoma.
It's hard to believe that the same company that published the Rise of Khan game also published a very bad Walking Dead game.
Well, they also did that fighting game, that Nickelodeon one that just came out.
That All-Star shit?
Yeah, that's them too.
Really? Oh, wow. All right. The more you know. Anyway, man, we're out of here. We'll see you on Thursday. Later.
Peace.
Laters. Yeah.